Be blessed. We come to the blessing scripture for the day in Genesis chapter 27. I always read the scripture, and I'm going to get there eventually, but I've got to set a lot of stuff up before we get to the story, all right? So hang in there. We are going to talk about blessing. You know, when you come to church, when you get involved in church, there's a church vocabulary that kind of takes place, right? There's words that you don't normally use out in the world that come into your life and into your... I mean, you hear it all the time. People at church say, praise the Lord. You don't say that very much in public, you know, when you get a new report at your business or you get something happening on your street. You usually say cool or sweet or awesome. But in church, we say praise the Lord because we really mean. We want to praise Him for what He's doing. If you're really, really super spiritual, you break out the hallelujah word, right? And hallelujah means literally... praise the Lord. Hallel, song, praise, Yah, Lord. So that's kind of a word that you might hear around here. Another church word is the word amen. You hear it at the end, maybe even during today's sermon, you might hear an amen or two. I don't know, but amen. There you go. First one of the day. But you don't use it in work very much. You don't say, hey, let's get together and discuss the merger. Amen. It literally means to so be it. It means it's true. It's right. This is going to happen. Rich Mullins had a song back in the 1900s where he interpreted amen as all right, uh-huh, okay, amen, right? And all those words, all right, uh-huh, okay, those are all amen words. And so we say it when we're moved, amen. When somebody says something inspiring, we say amen because we want it to be. But there is a word that we probably throw around a lot that's a Christian-y, churchy word. If you're visiting here today, you might hear it, and you've already heard it. The word is blessed. And when we say it in a variety of ways, even if you don't go to church, as Charlie said earlier, even if you don't go to church and somebody sneezes, we say, bless you. God bless you. Literally, God bend the knee to you. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. But we use this word a lot. We say things like God bless you or be blessed, or simply some people use a greeting that says blessings. And when someone asks us how we're doing, we might simply reply as a Christian, I'm blessed. Blessing is a very biblical word. It's a very Genesis word. It's a very Genesis 27 word. In fact, I was trying to search, and I didn't do the exact calculations, but I don't think there's a chapter in the Bible that has the word blessing in it more than chapter 27. And you're going to be surprised, because it's not a very spiritual chapter. But there's all kinds of blessing, and this word blessing is being thrown around. So I want to look at some questions today about blessing. What is Old Testament blessing all about? And what does it look like for us? And can we be blessed like this? And can we bless others like this? As we think about those questions, let me just kind of give you some context for this story before we get into it, all right? First of all, you need to know that in the Bible times, at the end of his life, the father, it was his job, it was his spiritual duty to bestow blessing on his children. And specifically, he was to bestow blessing on his oldest son. Because, you know, the oldest son was the one that got all the inheritance. He's the one that carried on the family name. It was his job to make sure the family kept going. And so this was an amazingly profound ritual where the father would call the son in, lay his hands on his head. The son would kneel before him, and he would proclaim words of blessing over him. So Isaac is old now. This Isaac, the son of promise we've been talking about and waiting for all through the book of Genesis, he's now well into his hundreds. Maybe 140 or 150. We'll see in the story today that he's so old, he's lost his eyesight. He can't see. And he wants to bless his oldest son. Now, in fact, remember, he has two sons. You remember this? Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. They were twins, but they were very, very different. Esau, whose name, by the way, means hairy. His other name, Edom, means red. So maybe he's a red-haired guy. We don't know. But he's a hairy guy, so hairy that his brother has to put skins on him to make him feel like his brother, to his dad. He's a Geico caveman meets Duck Dynasty, all right? He's a hunter. He's a man of the outdoors and one who likes to go out and be in the fields and be an outdoors kind of guy. He shops for his clothes at Bass Pro Shops. That's Esau. Jacob, on the other hand, is a man of tents. He stays inside. He's a mama's boy. He's more inclined to watch Food Network than ESPN. All right? He shops at Von Maur. He wears pressed jeans. He's a dessert martini, lime twist kind of guy. So they're different. They're different. And the problem is that that difference causes the parents to favor them differently. Isaac loves Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. It says so in Genesis 25, 28. And so here's the story. Now Isaac's old, he's blind, he can no longer see, but he wants to bless his oldest son Esau because that's the one he loves. He says, Esau, I've got this plan. I'm getting old. I think I'm getting ready to die. I want you to go out in the field, and one last time before I give you my blessing, I want you to go kill something and prepare it the way I love it and bring it to me, and I'll eat, I'll bless you, and that'll be it. And so Esau goes off on his hunt. Rebekah, on the other hand, is standing at the door of the tent, and she overhears this plan. You guys have been to Sunday school, you know this story. Some of you haven't, I'll repeat it anyway. It's a great story. Rebekah says, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to steal this blessing. I'm going to get my favorite son, Jacob, the blessing. And so she says to Jacob, Jacob, here's what I want you to do. Quick, go get two young goats, two young kids from the flock, and bring them to me. I'm going to prepare them the way your father loves the meat, the way that he loves to eat it, and I'm going to have you take it to him, and you're going to get the blessing. Jacob says, no way. He says, I'm going to end up getting a curse. I'm nothing like Esau. I don't smell like Esau. I don't look like Esau. I don't sound like Esau. I don't feel like Esau. He's hairy. I'm smooth. And so his mom says, don't worry about it. May the curse be upon me. If something goes wrong, I'll take the curse. Now, you have to understand this about fathers in the Old Testament. Somehow, the way that God worked this out spiritually, the curse was as powerful as the blessing. If he cursed one of his sons, it came true. And so so Jacob's a little nervous, but he goes and does what his mom has told him to do. She makes the tasty food. Now, here's the real kicker for this, and you got to read this story in Genesis 27 sometime later today. It's a great story. She takes some of the goat skins, and she puts them on his arms and the smooth part of his neck. How hairy is Esau? He's so hairy that he feels like goat hair. So Jacob comes in, this is going to be one of the ridiculous pictures. He's got his dad's supper. He's got goat hair kind of strapped to his arms and the back of his neck. He must have been an incredible sight. But he goes in. His dad questions him. His dad doesn't think that it's really Esau, but he asks him over and over again. He goes into his father's tent to get blessed. Isaac is suspicious, but he can't see. And so Jacob lies to him, and he feeds him, and he gives him wine, and he kneels, and his father gives him blessing. And here's the blessing. It picks up in Genesis chapter 27. And believe it or not, guys, this is all about us, 21st century American people. Chapter 27, 27. So he went to him, and he kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed. After Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. And then he said to him, my father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answered, your firstborn Esau. Isaac trembled violently. And he said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it just before you came in, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry, and he said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother has deceitfully come and taken your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing. And then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I've made him Lord over you, and I've made all of his relatives his servants, all your relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine, so what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Let's pray. God, sometimes we talk of blessing and we even speak of blessing others and we speak of being blessed, and maybe we don't know what it is. I pray that today you would teach us through your word that this story of blessing, as corrupt as it is, would teach us about your blessing in our lives as corrupt as they are. That you would, by your spirit, help us to understand the blessing we have through your son, Jesus. May his name be lifted high in this message. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, isn't that some story? We said that Genesis was a book of beginnings to blessing. And if there's a blessing scripture, this is the blessing scripture. It talks about blessing many times, 15 or 20 times in this passage, the Hebrew word blessing. Charlie said earlier, the word is barak. That is a word that literally needs to bow the knee, and you bow the knee because you're in the presence of someone greater than you, and they lay their hand and they speak words of favor. To bless someone is to speak words of favor over someone you have power over. In Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll flip there in just a minute, there's a simple little verse about Isaac blessing Esau and Jacob. But the word that's used there for blessing is the word eulogia. We get our word eulogy. And if you've ever been to a funeral, you understand what that's about. It literally means a well word. And that's what a blessing is. A blessing is a word that you want to hear. You want to hear good stuff coming out of the mouth of the person who's going to give it to you. So everybody in this story wants the blessing. Here's why. In the Old Testament, and we don't fully understand all this. In the Old Testament, a blessing was part three things. It was partly a prayer, because it always invokes God's name. It was partly a prophecy, because it always seemed to come true. And it was partly a father's final decision. So when Jacob puts his hand on the head of whom he thinks is Esau and he blesses him, he's praying, saying, God, do this. He's prophesying, God, you're going to do this. And he's also saying, this is what I want to have happen. All those three things combined somehow spiritually as God leads for the father to give the blessing. Here's the deal. Everybody wanted to be blessed by the father, especially the oldest son. And so even though Esau, we know his story a little bit, even though Esau has sold his birthright, he was not going to get the inheritance of land that was due him because he's the oldest son, he now wants the blessing worse than anything. And so we see there in your outline today, I want you to follow along, I want you to see how we all want blessing. We all cry out with Esau, bless me, bless me, bless me too. Esau had to work for it. Isaac gave Esau a task. Go and get the game that I love, prepare it and bring it to me. Can you imagine how nervous he was on this hunt? Can you imagine how anxious? I'm finally going to get to make up for all the mistakes in my life. Esau is well over 40 years old. Last time we get a number for him, he's in chapter 25 or 26 and he's 40 years old. He's getting married. He's probably 60 or 70 now. So don't think of him as this young guy just jumping over, you know, trees and stuff. He is on the hunt. And it's a nerve-wracking time. All the stuff that's happened in his life, he can make up for. He can wipe away. If he can just get the blessing of his father, all the stuff he's messed up, all the ways he's failed. You know, he was marrying Canaanite girls. He sold his birthright, didn't value it highly enough. This is my chance to come into the good graces of my father and be blessed by him. And many of us in this place are like Esau. We are on the hunt for God's love. We are on the hunt for blessing. If I just do this, if I go to church more, if I pray more, if I act better, if I stop cussing, if I stop smoking, if I start being nice to old people, if I start helping little kids that are in need. I don't know where the old people thing came from. That was kind of funny. But you should be nice to old people. We think that if we do something, we're on the hunt for God's blessing. If I do good, God will lay his blessing on me. We even heard it last night in the airplane. And believe me, we were in the airplane. The lady on the intercom, she was talking about people trying to make a flight. And she said, hey, let the person who has a connecting flight go ahead of you. It's good karma and all that. And that kind of seeps into our Christianity sometimes. We believe that there's good karma with God. If we do good stuff, he'll bless us. Esau's going, if I make this hunt happen and I make this meet just right, just the way dad loves, he's going to put his hands on me and I am going to be blessed. He's working for it. On the other hand, there's people in this story that are manipulating the blessing. Maybe you find yourself in the life of Rebecca or Isaac. Both parents here are in the wrong. And we know this because in Genesis chapter 25, verses 22 and 23, they've already been told who God is going to bless. You may not recall the story, but Rebecca, when she was pregnant with these two twins, they were jostling together inside of her womb. And she prayed to the Lord and said, "What's going on with these kids?" And the Lord could have just said, "Well, you're having boys. Get used to it," right? But he didn't. He said, "They are struggling, and they're always going to struggle. And the older, two nations," his word says in the scripture, "two nations are in your womb, and the older will serve the younger." Before they were born, God had determined that the line and the blessing was going to go through Jacob. It's already done. Rebecca, though, has an idea of how she wants God to accomplish it. Rebecca, if she were a woman of faith, would simply have said, "Well, it's a done deal. I don't know how God's going to work it out, but it's going to work out because he said that the older is going to serve the younger. And so my boy Jacob, he is going to be the one that's blessed." But like you and I sometimes, you know, God needs help every once in a while getting us to where we need to go. And so she tries to help him by lying, by deceiving her blind older husband. And of course she does. Now, you may feel sorry for Isaac in this story because he seems blind and he seems helpless, but I want you to see something about Isaac. He is actually trying to go against the will of God. He's laying his hands on whom he thinks is Esau, even though he's been told this prophecy that the older will serve the younger. He's saying, "Hurry up, get that game, come let me bless you, and I'll outsmart and outfox God. I'll bless you because you're my favorite, because you hunt and you smell like the field, and I love what you bring me." And so Isaac is incomplete. When he actually thinks that he's blessing Esau and laying his hands on Esau, he is in direct disobedience to God. Many of us in here are like Rebecca. We know that God's going to bless us because he's told us to, that he is, over and over and over again. But we just try to give him some help along the way. We try to manipulate the situation. We try to pray prayers that force God's hand. And "God, if you do this, then if you bless me, then I will." I'm manipulating blessings. I want you to give me blessings on my terms. That's Rebecca. Isaac, on the other hand, is just disobedient. Some of us in here from time to time are like that, aren't we? We confess. Sometimes I'm like Isaac. I'm just saying, "God, I don't want to do anything your way, but I sure want you to bless me." It's not long before you get into a confessional prayer. I don't know if you're like me, but you start confessing something that's in your life that's eating at you, that you want to change, you want to be a different person. You're like, "Lord, forgive me, change my heart, make me pure, make me a different." And I'm within two sentences, I'm saying, "And would you watch over my kids? And would you bless my finances? And would you bless my blah, 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 blah." So it's a very short trip through, "God, I'm not doing anything the way you want me to "Would you please bless me?" Even people who don't follow God at all, it's always intriguing to me how spiritual people are when catastrophes hit. How when the Twin Towers were knocked down, 9/11, how all of Congress stood on the steps and sang, "God bless America." Because we want it, whether we're going to follow him or not. A lot of us are like Isaac. And then that brings us to Jacob. Here's the crazy thing about this story. This whole week I'm going, "God, that's totally not fair. Jacob is the biggest jerk in the story. And he gets the blessing." Did you see that? Isn't it amazing how sometimes you look around and you can't explain, why is that person getting blessed? Why is Jacob getting blessed? His name literally means heel grabber. It literally means, "I'm going to take something from you. I've been grabbing at your heels and tackling Esau his whole life." That's when he was born. Esau was born first, and Jacob was holding on to his heel. So they named him heel grabber. They named him supplanter, somebody who takes things away. He's already conned his brother for the birthright, and now the blessing. That's why Esau says in verse 36, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? Isn't he rightly named stealer? He's conned me twice." For Jacob's part, he's a liar in this story. Three times he tells a bold-faced lie to his father. Verse 19, "Who are you?" "I'm Esau, your firstborn." Verse 20, "How did you find this game so quickly? How did you find this meat so quickly and bring it to me?" "The Lord your God gave me success." What? Verse 24, "Are you really my son?" "I am." He's lying to his father. And he's deceiving his father, and he's stealing from his brother. He doesn't deserve blessing at all, and yet he gets it. We're going to explain why he does in just a moment. I read this week this pretty incredible thing. There's a quote from an author. He said, everyone in the family sought the blessing of God without bending the knee to God. Everybody in the story just wanted the blessing of God, but they didn't want to kneel before him and say, I submit. What is your will? What are you going to do in my life? What is your blessing for me? If all of them would have just got on their knees and said, Lord, we submit to you and we praise you for what you've done and what you're going to do. We give our future to you. You choose. Then none of this would have happened. But how important is this blessing? Well, it's pretty important. You can see it in Esau's reaction. Now, Esau's not a sissy. He doesn't cry a whole lot. He's not a guy that's probably emotional. He probably doesn't journal. Okay? I find myself looking at Esau and going, I'm nothing like him. But look at his reaction. In verse 34, he cries out to his father, Father, bless me. Me too. Me too. He's crying out. He's crying out bitterly. And then look again in verse 38. Esau weeps aloud. You can imagine that Jacob is in some tent nearby just shuddering because he hears his brother weeping out loud and crying out loud and mourning because he's lost out on the blessing. I think you and I are a lot like Esau. Every one of us sense a need. Every one of us in here, we know that we can't handle life on our own. We know we can't fix our kids. We can't fix our marriage. We can't fix our job. We can't fix our finances. We can't fix the future of America. We want to do all this stuff, but we know that sooner or later we're powerless to do that. And so we all say, Lord, bless us. Please bless us. We need your blessing. We all sense it. We all know it. Even a guy as pagan as Esau, not following God, even someone as deceitful as Jacob, even somebody like Isaac who says, I'm not doing it God's way, even somebody like Rebecca says, I'll help God a little bit. All of those people describe you and I. We want blessing. We know that there's some need for blessing in our life. But here's the disconnect in American Christianity. It's the same as this family. We want God to bless us, but we do not want to do things God's way. And we wonder why sometimes God disciplines and sometimes God punishes, and the world is the way it is. We want God to bless us. And this blessing is important, and it's important for us to understand that blessing begins by kneeling to God, because here's what I want you to see next. All blessings and all blessing comes from God. All of it does. It doesn't come from Isaac. It doesn't come from me to you to somebody else. Bless you. God bless you. I'm blessed. Every blessing, if you use the word blessing ever, you have to go to the highest power in the universe, and he's the one that can give words of favor. And so all blessing comes from God. That's why he starts off this prayer in verse 28. You see that there? He says, may God give you the of heaven's dew. In verse 27 at the end, he says, the smell of my son, literally the breath of my son. That's the word we translate the spirit in the Old Testament, ruach. Literally the breath of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. In other words, the Lord blesses the field, and now I'm going to ask God to bless you. May God give you of heaven's dew. Because God used all the sinful wrong choices in this story and accomplished his will, we should pay attention to this. Because that's what God does with us, with blessing. He takes all the bad decisions, all the mess ups, all the do-overs, all the sins, all the stuff we've ever done, and he still chooses to bless his people. And so it's very important for us to look at how God blesses people in the Old Testament, because it transfers to the New Testament, as we'll get to in just a moment. There are basically, as I understand it, Isaac is praying this prayer of blessing from God, and there are basically four blessings in the Old Testament. There are four ways that God blesses the people who are in covenant with him, who follow him, who try to obey his word. The first one is prosperity. You see it in verse 28. May God give you grain and wine. In other words, may your fields prosper, may you have great crops, and may your vineyards prosper, may you have lots of grapes so that you can make lots of wine. This was a prosperity. You couldn't say anything better to a kid with a blessing. Bless your fields, may everything grow great, may you have great crops, may you just prosper in everything you do. God was called upon to give grain and wine, to bless him with the abundance and the earth's richness and heaven's dew. In other words, no drought, you know, always have the earth producing exactly what it's supposed to produce. And so this was expected in the Old Testament. If you're a follower of God, he's going to give you prosperity. He's going to prosper all the stuff you do. That was blessed for those who blessed by God and were in covenant with him. And then the other blessing was, the next blessing is that of victory. You see that in verse 29. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers. May the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. Just a few weeks ago, we talked about how Abram, God came to him and said, I am your shield and very great reward. In other words, Abram, when you're with me, when you go into war, you're not going to lose. And when it's all said and done, you are going to be over your enemies. You're going to be victorious. You're never going to be defeated because I am with you. And that's a blessing in the Old Testament. Now, if you would, flip your Bibles to chapter 28, because what happens later is that before Jacob takes off to go find a wife and actually to flee from his brother Esau, who's threatened to kill him, Jacob gives him another blessing. If you go to chapter 28, verse 3, he comes and gives him instructions about taking a wife, and he says, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. One of the Old Testament blessings was family, descendants, lots of kids. Depending on what stage of life you're in right now, you can tell whether that's a blessing to your life or not. But in the Old Testament, it was a blessing to have kids, and the more kids you had, the more you were blessed. If you saw somebody with 15 or 20 kids, which was not hard in the Old Testament times, they were truly blessed and people would look at them. That's why when you get to the New Testament and people are barren, people can't have kids, people look at them and say, oh, God's not blessing them. Something wrong with them. Okay, it's a big deal. So we have prosperity and we have victory over our enemies and we have descendants. And then finally in chapter 28, verse 4, he goes on, may he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien. The last blessing in the Old Testament is inheritance or land. He gives you a place to call your own. And those are the four Old Testament blessings. And many times it gets misinterpreted in a lot of different church circles that you and I should expect the same things. That God wants you to have a prosperous family and your family's going to be perfect and you have tons of healthy kids, and that's the way your life's going to be. Or that God's going to bless you by making your business thrive, by making your investments work out, by making your savings go farther than they should. That God's going to bless you financially or materialistically. Or that God's going to overcome your enemies. Or that God's going to give you lots of land and inheritance. Well, here's the deal. Here's where we need to bring all these Old Testament blessings. We need to bring them to Jesus. Because that's the last thing I want to say to you from this passage. Through Jesus, all are blessed. See, Abraham's promise was given in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and it was pointing to Jesus Christ. Notice that all these blessings echoed the blessings given to Abraham in chapter 12. Isaac was in covenant with God through Abraham, his father. And now Jacob was in covenant with God through his grandfather, Abraham. And that's why you hear through the Bible all the time, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Why? Because their blessing was the blessing that God gave Abraham. And then that blessing became Jacob, who became Israel, who became the 12 tribes, who became the nation, who birthed Jesus Christ, who was the promised seed of Abraham to come. So that all of us are the people of God, the 12 tribes, the spiritual Israel through Jesus Christ. It began with Abraham's promise that God was going to be in covenant with him. He's going to bless them. I want you to see in Hebrews 11:20, if you have your Bibles, flip over there. Hebrews 11:20, just this short verse, because there's a key word in here that I want to point out. This is the whole word about Isaac in Hebrews, the Hall of Faith chapter. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. I want you to see that all blessings have to do with future. You might read that and you go, by faith? It was by accident that Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob. He did it all wrong. But the faith part here is that he was looking to the future. You might even look at this and go, wait a minute. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau? Was Esau blessed? It doesn't sound. Away from the dew of heaven, away from the growing stuff in the earth, away from you always have to serve your brother and bow down to him. How did Esau get blessed through this? Well, here's the thing. The blessing in the Old Testament, no matter how Old Testament it is, always points to the future. He blessed them in regard to that. Isaac may not have had the right blessing in mind, but he was prophesying that God was going to do something in the future. And Esau may not have gotten all the stuff that he wanted, but he had a future and God had a plan for him. In fact, he became the country of Edom that played a vital role in Israel's history, God doing what he is going to do in this world. So here's the deal. Blessing is always about the future, and it's always found in Jesus Christ. And so we need to look for Jesus Christ in these blessings. We come to being blessed in the New Testament. Here's what you need to understand. Not every follower of Jesus Christ is prosperous. Some of the most spiritual people I know have nothing. They don't have cars. They don't have clothes. I know some pastors who have put their life on the line and they have never received a paycheck for preaching. I know pastors who don't have a home to live in. But they're blessed because the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ is not prosperous as you and I think of it. It's the prosperity of having faith in Jesus Christ and prosperity of the riches untold that God's going to give us in eternity. You see, God did not send his son Jesus into the world so that we could have a nicer car or a better home or cooler clothes or better toys. That's not why God sent his son Jesus to die. He sent his son Jesus to die so we could be blessed, we could prosper in an eternal sense. I promise you this, that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would trade all the goats and all the land and all the tents and all the servants they had in the Old Testament if they could have just had the promise that God was going to give them eternal riches. That through Jesus Christ, those are ours. Not every follower of Jesus is victorious over their earthly enemies. You should not take this passage and go to work against your mean boss and say, I'm going to be victorious over my mean boss today, over that neighbor that you don't get along with. Or even in the sense that we as a country should not go, we are, because we're America and we have in God we trust on our money, we're just going to stomp over everybody when we go to war. That's not biblically true. Okay? The truth is that not every follower of Jesus is victorious. It's been really unfortunate the last several weeks as Ray Lewis has talked about how God helped them win the Super Bowl. God does not care about the Super Bowl. Okay? It's okay that you give him glory, but God's going, really, there's Christians on both teams. I don't care. Okay? If he was going to help that happen, it'd be a Cowboys victory anyway. So I'm just saying. But we're not triumphing over earthly enemies. We're triumphing over the spiritual enemy, Satan, and the death and the sin that binds us because of who we are. The greatest victory is not that we overcome some foe or that we dominate somebody as we lead them or we have authority. That's not the victory that God sent his son Jesus for. He sent his son Jesus so that you and I could someday stand before the throne clean and alive and free from sin because Jesus paid the price. Amen. Not every follower of Jesus has a legacy of family. Some people in here come from broken families. Some people in here desire to have families and they can't. Some people in here have had their families turn their back on them because they are followers of Jesus Christ. I know, I'm very aware that when we come in here on a Sunday morning, many of us have family issues. So how can I say that I get descendants and I get this inheritance of family? Well, that's because through Christ, we're part of the church, the family of God. And for those of you in here who don't have family, you know just how important the family of God is. And for those of you who have family, you know how sweet it is to see that same thing in the spiritual brothers and sisters that gather with you. Not every follower of Jesus owns a huge tract of land. There's a lot of Christians who don't own anything. But we have an eternal inheritance in glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we say along with Esau, me too. Me too. God, me too. Would you bless me too? You've blessed lots of people. I see a bunch of people in here sitting on here on Sunday morning. Would you bless me like you have apparently blessed all these spiritual people? Me too. Can we say that along with Esau, back to the questions we started our sermon with. What is Old Testament blessing all about, and what does that look like for us? And can we be blessed like this? And the answer is yes. The blessing comes through Jesus Christ. So from now on, I want you to get this in your mind. When you say, bless you to someone, what you're really saying is, Christ be with you. When you say, I'm blessed, It's not about you having a good job or a nice home. You're talking about, I have Jesus in my life. When you say to someone, blessings, you're not asking that their family problems are solved and their financial problems are solved and all their pain goes away. What you're saying is, I hope you sense God's presence through Jesus today. Galatians 3:14 says it best. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 1:3 goes on to say, Paul praises God for his blessing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we're grateful for the blessings you've given us. We confess freely we don't deserve them, but you have given them to us through Jesus, and we bless your name for that. We speak a word of favor to you because you have favored us through Jesus. And so, Lord, be honored in the way we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.